truly an honor to be here. The Lord kind of worked this all out at the last minute in a lot of ways, but God has a way of doing that in my life, so you'd think I'd be used to it by now, but that's all right. Great to meet some of you this morning already in the Sunday school hour, and some more of you here. I trust the Lord will speak to our hearts through His Word this morning. Let's start this morning by turning to a familiar passage in Romans chapter 8. Romans chapter 8, and we'll begin with verse 28. Like I said, very familiar passage to us. And I'm going to take probably the least familiar verse out of this familiar passage, and we're going to focus on that this morning in our time. Romans 8, beginning with verse 28. And we know that all things work together for good to those who love God, to those who are the called according to His purpose. For whom He foreknew, He also predestined to be conformed to the image of His Son, that He might be the firstborn among many brethren. Moreover, whom He predestined, these He also called. Whom He called, these He also justified. Whom He justified, these He also glorified. What then shall we say to these things? If God is for us, who can be against us? He who did not spare His own Son, but delivered Him up for us all, how shall He not with Him also freely give us all things? Who shall bring a charge against God's elect? It is God who justifies. Who is he who condemns? It is Christ who died, and furthermore is also risen, who is even at the right hand of God, who also makes intercession for us. Let's pray. Our Heavenly Father, we thank You for Your Word. We thank You that we can find what we need in Your Word. We can always apply it to our lives. It's always there, rich and living and powerful. And that as we look into Your Word this morning, may Your Spirit guide us in full understanding of what You would have for us to make us better servants of You. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Okay. Like I said, I'm going to pull out what I consider probably one of the least familiar verses in this familiar chapter, passage rather, and that would be verse 32, verse that's been special to me for a lot of years. But he who did not spare his own son, but delivered him up for us all, how shall he not with him also freely give us all things? This is the free gift of salvation that God has given us. Amen. It is not by works of righteousness as we have done. He has given us His Son. Jesus Christ died in our place on the cross. And that free gift that is available to whosoever will may come and trust in Him. That is the greatest gift of all. But it's a package deal, isn't it? It says, how shall he not also with him, with Christ, that sacrifice that he has given to save us from our sins, how shall he not with him also freely give us all things? Well, what are all things? What does he mean by that? Well, I think in a parallel passage, we're going to find a little more about that. Let's turn over to 2 Peter. Keep your Bibles limber this morning. I'm going to have you moving around a little bit. But we're going to look at 2 Peter chapter 1. 2 Peter chapter 1, beginning in verse 2. 2 Peter 1, verse 2. Grace and peace be multiplied to you in the knowledge of God and of Jesus our Lord, as His divine power has given to us all things that pertain to life and godliness, through the knowledge of Him who called us by glory and virtue, by which have been given to us exceedingly great and precious promises, that through these you may be partakers of the divine nature, having escaped the corruption that is in the world through lust. We see that little phrase there, the little two-word, all things. But Peter adds a little something to that, all things that pertain to life and godliness. Okay? I find this, just as an aside here, the unity of Scripture. Here we have two different books, two different human authors saying the same thing. That should encourage our hearts, remind us it's all one story here, isn't it, in God's Word? It all is together. It doesn't contradict itself. It's the same message. Just a little aside on that. But here's Peter, I think, is talking about the same thing Paul is in Romans when he says all things that pertain to life and godliness. And how did he give this to us? Through the knowledge of Christ, knowledge of God. This isn't knowing about God. I know a lot of unbelievers out there that know a lot about God. They know the Bible. They've read it. They know a little bit about it. No, this is knowing Christ. This is an intimate relationship with Him. This comes with salvation. Once again, Peter is saying the same thing here. So what are all things that pertain to life and godliness? What are these all things that God has given us when He graciously grants us salvation? What's salvation? That's our eternal hope, our eternal security that we have, the eternal home in heaven, in the presence of God, away from the presence of sin and death. That is our eternal hope. But He doesn't just leave us here on this earth to muddle through on our own. He gives us all things, graciously, freely gives us all things that we need on this earth. Well, obviously, this includes our physical needs. If He doesn't keep us alive, meet those physical needs, we're not going to be able to serve Him, are we? And we could turn to Matthew 6. We won't this morning, but familiar with the Sermon on the Mount there, where Jesus talks about your Heavenly Father knows that you need these things, food, shelter, clothing, and He's going to provide them for you. Jesus promises that. And in Philippians 4, Paul reminds the Philippian believers, my God will supply all your needs through His riches and glory in Christ Jesus. In the context there, that's talking about physical needs, because the Philippian church was poor and yet they were giving out of their poverty. And he said, God's going to provide for you. He's going to bless you out of that. So God is going to provide our physical needs, and we can be thankful for that and not worry. Don't forget that. That's very important. Take that with you. But I want to focus on something else besides our physical needs this morning, because it says here, all things that pertain to life and godliness here in 2 Peter. It's all we need to walk the Christian walk, to live the Christian life that God has called us as believers to do. Now, He's not going to give us all things if we haven't already trusted Him. So think about this. If you don't know Christ as your Savior, none of this is going to apply to you. All this has to come after salvation. So what are these all things that He's given us? Well, obviously, we could probably preach more than one message on that, right? There'd be a whole series on all things. But I've picked six things that I think are very important. I would say they include the most important things that He's given us to walk the Christian walk, to live the life that He's called us to in Christ. First of all, I think it's fitting to start with, that He's given us the Holy Spirit. Turn with me, if you would, over to the book of John, chapter 14. John chapter 14, verse 25 through 26. Jesus is talking to His disciples and the promise of the Holy Spirit that He's going to send after His departure. Beginning in verse 25 in John 14, these things have I spoken to you while being present with you. But the Helper, the Comforter, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, He will teach you all things and bring to your remembrance all things that I have said to you. Jesus repeats this promise of the Holy Spirit coming over again in chapter 16 here. And He says, it's a good thing that I go away, because then the Holy Spirit's going to come and He's going to teach you all things, bring things to your remembrance. We look at Jesus' teaching in Scripture and we say, wow, wouldn't it have been wonderful to sit under His teaching? And it would have been, wouldn't it? But Jesus told His disciples that it's a good thing that I go away, that He went away, because then the Holy Spirit will come, and the Holy Spirit will be to all believers everywhere. Jesus limited himself to one place at one time with his disciples to teach them. The Holy Spirit's here with us this morning, indwells every believer. So what is he? He's our helper, our teacher. How many times has that verse come to mind that you needed at the time that you needed it, whether it be if you're sharing with an unbeliever, encouraging a fellow believer, or just needed it in your life, or maybe sometimes somebody brought that verse to you. That's the Holy Spirit. He's bringing those things to remembrance. He said he'd bring that to remembrance to the disciples, what he taught them, what Jesus taught them. Well, we didn't hear Jesus speak, did we? We weren't there to hear him preach. Where do we have his words? Right here. We have it all right here in Scripture. And so this is what the Holy Spirit is going to bring to remembrance. Just like when Jesus promised his disciples that the Holy Spirit would bring to remembrance his words, that promise holds true to us. The Holy Spirit brings us to remembrance of those words. Hang on to that. We're going to come back to that. And keep your finger in John 14 here in this passage, this area. We're going to come back to that as well. The Holy Spirit is also the seal and the guarantee of our inheritance. Turn with me, if you would, to Ephesians 1 for this. Ephesians 1 and verse 13. Verses 13 and 14 in Ephesians chapter 1. In him you also trusted after you heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation, in whom also, having believed, you were sealed with the Holy Spirit of promise, who is the guarantee of our inheritance until the redemption of the purchased possession to the praise of his glory. As long as we have the Holy Spirit indwelling us, we are secure in our salvation. And you want to know the real good news about all that? The believers on this side of the cross will never have the Holy Spirit taken away from us. Our eternal hope is secure on this earth. We look forward to someday realizing our salvation, like I said, to be free from the presence of sin and death in the presence of our Lord. But that eternal hope is secure right here, right now. And we can remember that. We can look at the circumstances around us. When Pastor Terry was giving announcements and talking about the prayer time, our country, and it needs our prayer desperately, our world, the turmoil that's in our world, we find hope because our hope is not in this world. But we can have hope here and now because we know the Holy Spirit is with us. And that is our guarantee that as long as we have the Holy Spirit, we are secure in Christ and our eternal security is taken care of as well. What a blessing that is to know that, isn't it? We don't have to fear. We don't have to worry. Our eternal home is taken care of, and we can rejoice in that, in eternal life right here, right now. The Holy Spirit also helps us bear fruit, right? He helps us to walk that Christian walk, to live it out, to show to others in the world around us that we are in Christ. If you want, you can turn to Galatians chapter 5 with me. It's a familiar passage, I'm sure. We're just going to look through the fruit of the Spirit. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. Against such there is no law. Now here again, we could go through a whole series in looking at each one of these individually. We're just going to let it stand for what it is. But it's what? The fruit of the Spirit, right? The Holy Spirit is the one that causes us to bear fruit in our lives. And we show that. And so we look at others around us, and we know that they're believers. They're bearing this fruit in our lives. And we prove to others around us, too, that we are believers because we are bearing the fruit of the Spirit. And it shows in our lives. Number two that God gives us in these all things is peace. You might say, well, that's one of the fruit of the Spirit. Yes, it is. But I think that God gives us another kind of peace that isn't necessarily what the fruit of the Spirit is considered here, the peace. There's a lot of different kinds of peace out there. There's peace with God. That's our salvation. We have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. This is the peace of God. This is the, turn back to John, where we were, right there in John 14 again. John 14, verse 27, the next very next verse. Peace I live with you, my peace I give to you. Not as the world gives you, do I give you. Let not your heart be troubled, neither let it be afraid. He gives us a supernatural peace. This is a peace that is a gift from God. Yes, we have a peace that we can grow in, and part of the fruit of the Spirit, that peace in our lives. But this is a peace that God graciously grants us, I believe, that's even separate from that. It's beyond that. We witnessed a little bit of that this morning. Pastor Terry talks about our sister here and what she's going through and that peace that she has in Christ. That's the peace that Paul says passes all under human understanding in Philippians chapter 4, verse 7. Have you seen that peace in other people's lives? Have you had that peace in your life? That peace that the world looks at and goes, how do you have that peace? It's a gift from God. It really is. God gives us that peace. We live in a world without peace. I had a coworker about a year ago when all the riots were happening. Mike doesn't know the Lord, and he contacted me one night when we were working together. He goes, I'm really upset about this, and this is not like me, but I think we should pray for our country. And he had friends, people he knew that were standing on the street with rocks being thrown at them. People he'd known in the past, gone to training with. High school, lifelong friends that were going through this. It really hit home to him, that peace that this world doesn't have. And it gave me an opportunity to come and to tell him about the peace that God can give us in our lives. We as believers have that opportunity in a world without peace. And this goes right on into the very next one. Number three, he gives us joy. And yes, that's one of the fruit of the Spirit. That's something that grows in our lives. But he gives us joy. Right here in the same page for me anyhow, this is in John 15 though. On the other side of the page, Jesus says, 15 verse 11, these things I have spoken to you that my joy may remain in you and that your joy may be full. That peace and that joy that we can have in spite of our circumstances, in spite of what's going on in the world, that is truly a gift from God that he gives us along with our salvation that we can have. That stands out in the world, doesn't it? Having that peace, having that joy. The world around us, the unbelievers don't understand that. They recognize something supernatural. And that's what this is. This is something given to us from God. What else does God give us? Number four would be spiritual gifts. He has given us spiritual gifts. Turn back to the book of Ephesians for this. We're going to look at Ephesians chapter 4 this time. Ephesians chapter 4. I'm going to begin with verse 7, read through verse 13. Ephesians chapter 4. But to each one of us, grace was given according to the measure of Christ's gift. Therefore, he says, when he ascended on high, he led captivity captive and gave gifts to men. Let's skip down to verse 11. And he himself gave some to be apostles, some prophets, some evangelists, some pastors and teachers, for the equipping of the saints, for the work of the ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ, till we all come to the unity of faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God, to a perfect man, to the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ. We could also look over in 1 Corinthians chapters 12 and 14, more talking about spiritual gifts, different kinds of spiritual gifts. And there you'll find the same thing. All these gifts that were given to believers are for what reason? For the building up of the body, for the edifying of one another. None of this is for ourselves. None of this is for our own glory. This is for the glory of God. We glorify God by sharing these with others. We share what we have with others. The gifts that He's given us are for the edifying and the building up of the body. We all can come to the unity together in Christ. We do this. We have that unity of the Spirit through solid Bible teaching, through the encouragement of other believers. Very important that we remember this. God has given what God has given you. Each one of us has been given gifts by God to be shared and to be used to encourage one another. Don't sit there and think, well, I'm just young. I'm just one of the people that comes. No, every one of you has been uniquely gifted by God in a special way to encourage one another. That looks different in each one of us. We're not all the same. Praise the Lord for that. God has uniquely gifted each one of us. Use those gifts to encourage each other, to build one another up. That might be publicly, that might be privately. Most of us is really private, I think, because God hasn't called all of us to public ministry. But privately, He's called us all. We encourage one another, we build one another up in Him. Number five, He has given us access to the Father. This, if I had to pick maybe a favorite one out of all these things, I might say this is my favorite. Turn back just another page in Ephesians chapter 2. Ephesians chapter 2, verse 18. For through Him, that is Jesus, we both, and in the context here that's speaking, both Jew and Gentile, we both have access by one Spirit to the Father. What's that access to the Father? Prayer. He has given us the right and the privilege to come to Him in prayer. We as believers can come. We have to turn to the book of Hebrews on this one, don't we? Hebrews chapter 4, verse 14 through 16. Hebrews chapter 4. Seeing then that we have a great high priest who has passed through the heavens, Jesus, the Son of God, let us hold fast to our confession, for we do not have a high priest who cannot sympathize with our weaknesses, but was in all points tempted as we are, yet without sin. Let us therefore come boldly to the throne of grace, that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in time of need. We have access to the Father. We have access to the throne of grace. God has given us that along with our salvation. And we don't come, oh, Lord. No, we come boldly before the throne of grace. That doesn't mean we come flippantly. That doesn't mean we don't come reverently. But we still come boldly. I think of my own children. Now they're all older, youngest being 15. They have a respect for me. Praise the Lord. They still do, especially my three boys all being bigger than I am. But they still, with that respect and that, dare I say it, even reverence, that they respect me as their father, they come and boldly ask. And I encourage them to come and boldly ask, even if it's things that they shouldn't have. It's a teachable time to teach them that we don't need that. But we come boldly before the throne of grace. We don't have to send somebody else for us to ask for us. Our mediator is Jesus Christ. When He died, what happened? The veil was torn from top to bottom. The veil of the temple that symbolized the barrier between us and God. That access to God was opened through the death of Christ. So we have access to the Father. We can come to Him. What an encouragement that is, because if you were here during the Sunday school time, I talked about how all of life is really beyond us. It's too much for us to handle on our own. And we need Christ's strength. We need God's strength to move forward. And one of our brothers, when I asked, what does that challenge you to do. I said, pray. I appreciated that because it should. It should challenge us to pray when we recognize our weaknesses. We see our needs, our need of Christ. But we can come boldly before his throne. Every other false god, every other religion, there's fear, there's appeasement. They're scared of their God. We have a holy reverence and fear of God. I preached a whole message on that before, on the fear of God. And there's a lot to be said on that. And that doesn't mean we don't fear him and reverence him, but we still come boldly. I can't emphasize that enough to balance those two, that we can come boldly into his presence. And last but not least, number six, he's given us his word. We could go a lot of places to look at what Scripture says about itself, couldn't we? Go to the Psalms and look how God's word is called what? A lamp to our feet, a light to our path, a lamp to our feet. It shows us where to go in this dark world. God's word is called our necessary food. We left a church years ago because we weren't getting fed spiritually. We needed a good dose of God's word in the preaching. We found a church, praise the Lord, that we got that. We got fed. God's word is our food. God's word in the Psalms is likened to be sweeter than honey, more precious than gold. It's everything to us, right? But I think we're going to just stay right here in the New Testament for this in 2 Timothy, where probably one of the best descriptions of God's word. It's very simple, clear. It's something that'd be familiar to most of us. 2 Timothy chapter 3, verses 16 and 17. All scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be complete, thoroughly equipped for every good work. All scripture, given by inspiration of God, Old and New Testament. We have the whole story. It's all here. All things that pertain to life and godliness. That sound familiar? Where do we find that? All scripture given by inspiration of God is profitable. Profitable for what? For doctrine. Well, what's doctrine? Doctrine is simply right beliefs, correct theology, knowing the facts, the truth. Doctrine is the truth. Doctrine, unfortunately, is underemphasized in too many churches today. I trust not here. From what I've already seen of Pastor Terry, I don't believe that's the case. Doctrine is underemphasized, though, in too many places. I don't believe doctrine can be overemphasized. Maybe you might neglect some doctrines at the expense of others, whatever, but you can't overemphasize doctrine. I heard a pastor on the radio one time say, well, you don't get a hug from doctrine, you get a hug from Jesus Christ. Man, he's missing something here. I'm going to turn to that great theologian from Peanuts, Linus. And in that cartoon, one of my favorite cartoon of all times, Lucy is watching it rain outside. She's the worrier. She's watching it rain, and she says, oh, look at it raining. It's not going to stop. What would happen if it just kept raining and it flooded the whole world and killed everybody? And Linus said, no, that's not going to happen. See, here in Genesis, God promises that he will never again flood the world and destroy all mankind by water. Oh, I feel a lot better now. He said, right doctrine has a way of doing that. Okay, yeah. Right doctrine has a way of comforting us, doesn't it? Have you ever had a time where life didn't make sense around you? Things were not like it should be. Nothing looked like God was in control. Nothing looked like dare I say it, maybe it didn't even look like God cared at the moment where you were at. It's like, Lord, are you there? I've been there. I really have. And what did I stand on? I stood on doctrine. I didn't stand on that feelings, how I felt about my circumstances. I stood on what I knew about my circumstances. I stood on sound doctrine. I struggled. I cried. I pleaded with God. But in my heart, I had what? I had that peace that we talked about earlier, because I stood on that sound doctrine. I knew that God's word would not fail me. His promises were sure. Doctrine. Then the unpleasant one is also profitable for reproof. We need that. Scripture likens itself to a mirror that we look into, and it points out what's wrong with us. This reproof, it points out wrong doctrine in our lives, wrong belief, and wrong actions. It points out where we mess up, where we're wrong. But God doesn't leave us there. It's followed up by correction. What is correction? That's correcting what's wrong. Brings us back to right belief, right living. Scripture is profitable for both. Doesn't just slap us down. It brings us back, straightens us out. Thankful for that. And what? Instruction in righteousness, in living right. This is the practical, where the rubber meets the road, so to speak. This is living it out in our daily lives. Scripture is profitable for that. Does that sound a little bit familiar? Go back to all things that pertain to life and godliness, living the Christian life. Where do we find that? We find that in His Word. So I began this morning with the Holy Spirit, and I end with God's Word. And I see them as fitting bookends, so to speak, to this as we look at that. Because if we don't have the Holy Spirit to guide us through God's Word, we're not going to understand it. It says the natural man does not receive the things of the Spirit. He can't spiritually discern. Even if unbelievers begin to see God's truth from His Word that leads them to salvation, that's the Holy Spirit opening their eyes. I think of my mom years ago, did a Bible study in our hometown, and with a group of ladies. And she said, partway through that Bible study, one lady in particular, she said, the lights came on. So that lady was saved some time during that Bible study. And it made sense to her. She had the Holy Spirit in her now. The Holy Spirit, what? He's our what? Our teacher. He will bring all things to remembrance that I have spoken unto you. How does Jesus speak to us now? Through His Word. That's why I wanted to put them beginning and ending. Start with the Holy Spirit, end with the Word of God. If we have the Holy Spirit, where is He going to guide us if we don't have the Word? If we have the Word and we don't have the Holy Spirit to teach us, we're going to be like unbelievers and say, well, I don't get it. I don't understand the Word of God. And there's hard things in here. There's things in Scripture that maybe we don't understand even as believers. What do? We don't say, I'm going to leave that for later. Or forget about it, rather. Might leave it for later, come back to it, study some more, ask some people to help us out, human teachers, as well as asking God to reveal it to us through His Holy Spirit. We interpret what? Scripture with Scripture. Thankful I had a pastor years ago that constantly reminded us of that in church. You interpret Scripture with Scripture. If you don't understand it over here, let's turn to another passage. Keep reading. God will reveal it to you. We started in Romans 8. Give us all things. We went over to 2 Peter. All things, what? That pertain to life and godliness. All that we need to live our life on this earth pleasing to God, He has given us. He doesn't turn us loose and say, do the best you can, people. And then just sit there and go, look at him, he messed up. He didn't get it, did he? No. We have the resources we need right here in God's Word and through His Spirit to teach us. This should be an encouragement to all of us that God has not left us here, like I said, just to muddle through. We can live in victory because we have all things. We can move forward with confidence because we have all things in Christ. That's not a prosperity gospel at all. It's a different kind of prosperity gospel. It's being rich in what really matters. Rich in the truth that God has given us. In tune with the Spirit of God. Having peace and joy that's beyond the world's understanding. That's true riches, isn't it? Not material wealth. This is true riches. I trust as we go our separate ways, we will remember these things. And most importantly, if you don't know Christ, you don't have all these things. Think of that. Not only is your eternal home unsecure, not someplace you want to go, your eternal future is in jeopardy. But life here on earth, you are left to muddle through on your own. We don't have to worry about that as believers. Our eternal home is secure. And He's going to take care of us in the meantime. So I urge you, if you don't know the Lord, if you've not trusted Christ as your Savior, to do so today, and with Jesus also freely receive all things in Christ. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for your word once again, that it does contain all things that pertain to life and godliness. You have given this to us to show us your way, to show us how to follow you, to show us what it is really like, what it really means, rather, to be your children, to be your people. May we take this with us today and in the weeks ahead, months ahead, in our lifetime ahead, may we show the world around us what we have in Christ, and that free gift is available to them, and build one another up in your word, in your spirit. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Thank you, Pastor Terry.